Maybe hard to believe that this is the last Sunday of 2024. Some may think the year has been long. Most of us think it flew by. But thanks to all that were able to be a part of Christmas Eve service, it was a sweet time to just kind of set the mood for the next day as we meet with families. And I say, keep me in prayer. As for 2025, I have 1,000 ideas. We want to be obedient to God's leading. And a couple things to keep in mind. Also, over here on a little wooden pedestal thingy-majigger has Bible reading schedules. If you would like that to help you discipline yourself to read daily, you take what you would like. There's a couple different formats. One is just for New Testament, others for the whole Bible. My encouragement is just read daily. Don't worry about trying to fly through the Bible. You read to where you can be fed every day. Be challenged by God's word. Also, keep Rhonda there in your prayers as she had her knee replacement surgery. She's doing well. And also, thank you. A bunch of y'all supported me. Gifts and all. And then I come back in boxes and boxing materials and stuff. As many of you know, I need that stuff. And this is the time of the year that's all over the place. So thank you very much. I take it and I use every bit of it. But as we look forward to 2025, sometimes we can look back at this last year and we can remember either great things, bad things, times of learning, right? When you look back at this year, there might be a mix of things. Unfortunately, some things we went through in 2024 were hard. We suffered loss. We said goodbye to some that we love. And we can honestly look around this very room and some that would be in here with us right now if they could be. But instead, they're before the throne of Jesus Christ. We know Don Williams went home earlier in the year. Roma Anderson, Carol Moore, Carlos Paul. These things hurt. They meant a lot to us. We've had families in our church that have suffered loss of those that don't go to church here, but we hurt with them as well. And in those cases, some things have happened this year have been very hard. We've also seen some loved ones move away to be closer to their family as they get in their later years and they want to be closer to family where they need to be. And you love them, so it's hard to see them move further away. Unfortunately, we've seen some walk away from the faith. After building friendships and relationships, praying with and for them, counseling, investing in lives, it hurts to watch them choose to pursue sin. Neglect the things of God. Neglect God's conviction and His way. Hard to look back on this year and remember stuff like that. We can also look back at 2024. We had some great times as a church. Our kids' ministries did some fun stuff. We just got done with a crazy Christmas party. If you're there, we throw stuff at each other. It's part of the fun. Harvest Barn. We had a wiener roast at my house. Craft making with Katie, specials by individuals and also by groups. We had Easter and Christmas programs. Just a lot of fun stuff to see our kids' activities. We've seen some teen ministry activity as taking a teen group to a summer camp. Some of them doing stuff that they never thought they'd do. But then we took a spring break escape to St. Louis. We just got done with a fun Christmas party. As a church, we had more involvement, different activities. We had our super fellowship, which a new one will be coming up in 2 months. We had bingo night. We had Father's Day fishing, Mother's Day meeting and luncheon, Easter programs, breakfast. We had the egg hunt during Easter. We had Memorial Day cookout. Homecoming fellowship, men's breakfast, marriage builders, Thanksgiving dinner, trunk or treat with our community. We fed the Mormon Trail football and volleyball teams. We put up trees and lights at the court and fair We could go on with stuff that we've got to be a part of. And we thank God for that, don't we? Those are the encouraging things, the fun things. But through all the good and bad, we have specific things that we praise a little bit louder for. We celebrate a little bit more for, because God is at work. We witnessed His blessings this year when we got to see someone place faith in Jesus Christ, calling upon His name for salvation. When we've seen some be baptized this year, some have joined the church in membership, and we still have some that are asking right now. We're trying to get time to meet together. Our midweek service has really grown. If you don't come on Wednesday nights, I promise you, you're missing out. Just an informal time to dive into God's Word, talk, discuss. Ladies and men's Bible studies have many more people being faithful to them. The kids' ministry, as well as teen ministries, are growing. Amy kind of runs numbers after services. And over the last year, every service is at least 30% youth, high school and under. It wasn't that long ago that we only had a couple kids running around the building. Is God good? God is blessed. Many new regular attenders and services. Man, if you're new to this church, we love you. We thank you for being a part. Many more have been committed and involved in the FBC ministries. That's growth. That's putting legs to our faith, really serving one another. See, God is good and He's at work. So I want to look at a short passage that Paul speaks of in Philippians chapter 3. If you're not there, go ahead and open up to 3. Because Paul makes clear that no matter what he had accomplished in his life, what he had gone through, who he was, he still needed to grow. And before we even jump in, let me just say this to you and I. No matter what your past includes, what you have accomplished, how you have been hurt, God is still working to grow you. God still wants to use you for His glory as long as you can take a breath. In Philippians chapter 3, go down to verse 12. That's where we're going to start today. As Paul pens this letter to Church Philippi, he's speaking of his life. And he challenges us with, in verse 12, he says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. And even those times of hurt and pain, that you comfort us, that you grow us through, that you use and you have a plan for. Lord, I ask that you'd give me the word to say, that you would speak to our hearts today, that your Spirit would stir us up, that we would look forward to 2025 and look forward to the way you want to use us and what you want to do with us. We love you, Lord. I thank you for your presence today. In your name I pray. Amen. As we read through this text, it's not a new passage. As a matter of fact, I preached through the book of Philippians on Wednesday night, just finished a couple months ago. And right now we're walking through the book of James, verse by verse. But we touched this passage quite heavily when we walked through it months ago. And Paul's challenge here is to grow, because he knew he needed to grow. And he started here by saying that you must recognize, and here's the first point, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. When your ego starts to build up and your pride gets a hold of you, you need to stop and remind yourself, I ain't arrived yet. I'm still going. I'm still moving forward. I'm still moving along. That's why in verse 12 he says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." Sometimes we got to remind ourselves of this, that we are perfect in position, but we are not perfect in practice. Catch that? If you were here on Wednesday nights, you probably remember us talking about that because we went over that part over and over. You are perfect in position because through faith in Jesus Christ, He has cleansed you, He has sanctified you, and He has made you holy in the eyes of the Father. But in practice, I sin daily. In practice, I'm still growing. In practice, I'm still trying to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And as you know, I fail daily. But thank God that through faith in Him, I have a position of His child, of holiness. I've been placed in a holy family of God, not because of anything I've done, because I fail daily. I've been placed there because of what Jesus has done. We're still being conformed to the image of God. We're still growing. We're still adding to our faith. The Scripture tells us to keep adding to our faith. And no matter what you have done, God is still working to perfect you. No matter how wise you think you are, you ain't there yet. May it hurt your feelings, but that may be something you got to get past. God wants to mature you. He wants to conform you. In 2 Corinthians 7:1 says this, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." In the fear of God, recognizing who He is, placing Him in the right position in my life, that's the fear of God, placing Him for who He is, then I recognize He lives within me. That I am the temple of God, the Scripture promises us. I have a Holy Spirit within me. I am to be His light. I have a Holy Father. Things I need to recognize. That's why I haven't attained yet. I'm not the Holy One. I'm trying to be conformed to His image. See, based on His promises, let's get rid of those things that don't reflect the relationship with Him. You ever evaluated your lives and things you do and things you say to really check and see if that's something that brings honor to God, that reflects His holiness, that reflects His righteousness, that would make people look at Him? And that's what we're called to do, to get rid of those things that don't shine His light. To change any character that doesn't reflect His character. What does not draw people to see Him, we should get rid of. That's part of Him maturing us. Anybody out there? This should be very personal. I'm not talking about anybody else but ourselves. That we do as David did, and I quote all the time, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me. And then lead me, Lord, in the way everlasting." Search ourselves. What is it that doesn't honor Him? One day when we see Jesus face to face, and this is the big hope. This is what we look forward to because of His promises, because of His salvation. The day we see Him face to face, He will complete His work in us. Right now, we're walking by faith, step by faith, and He's growing us. You with me? Most of us could probably look at our life at the time of salvation and how He's grown us some from then. Yeah? I hope so. If you're a child of God, you cannot be the same now as you were as when you were saved. Because guess what? You are born again. Any kid that is born from his mama that does not grow and he looks the exact same 5 years later, you know what's wrong? He's dead. There must be birth. There must be growth if you are a child of God. If you're really a child of God, you've been born again, there will be a change in our life. We will grow. And then when we see Jesus face to face, He promises in 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as he is. The day Jesus takes us to our eternal home and we meet him in the clouds, we'll be conformed to his image just like he created us in the book of Genesis. Won't that be cool? Before it all messed up because sin stepped into our lives, he created us in his image, holy, righteous. That'll be us again the day I see Jesus face to face. If you've placed faith in him and called on him for salvation, that's his promise. The work of God will be over. Sanctification will be complete. Glory will be our eternal home. But for now, just like Paul, we must know that we've not attained yet. We've not arrived. If you think you all that and a cup of tea, you're only tricking yourself. The truth is, you look more foolish before the Father because your pride puffs up. And he says he holds off pride. But he blesses the humble. And Paul says, listen, I had to come to a realization that I have not yet attained. Now, Paul had done some pretty big things. Some pretty awesome things. He was a pretty important dude. Even before salvation. And yet he says, listen, I'm not there yet. Second thing I see here is Paul's determination in verse 12. Look at the second half of verse 12. But I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. For now, as believers, we're pursuing the very thing for which I was pursued. That's what Paul's saying. Now I pursue the reason Christ pursued me. Jesus saved me for a purpose. He called me to himself. Paul says, no matter what I have done, I'm going to continue to pursue his purpose in my life. I'm going to give it all to him for all my life. You with me? You ever done that? You ever stop and think about that? You know what? He called me for a purpose. Jesus just hey, interpret for me, sister. Jesus didn't just say, hey, here's a get out of hell free card. While Jesus is saying, I call you unto myself. Because if you're my disciples, you're going to pick up my cross and you're going to follow me. He called you unto himself to be conformed into his image. What he created us for in the first place. See, it was much better than some little card saying, well, he's saved now. He says, I have a purpose for you. And Paul says, I'm going to pursue that purpose. Now, Paul did not have the let go and let God mentality. We've heard that before, right? Just let go and let God. It sounds so spiritual, or you might say it sounds so lazy. That was not Paul's mentality. He had the I'm going to give God my all mentality. Paul didn't have the mentality of you ask me to jump and I ask how high. Paul had the mentality, you ask me to jump, I'm going to jump as high as I possibly can. Paul's going to give it all. That's hard to do. But look at Paul's call to fight. Listen to what he calls as he speaks to a young pastor, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 6. Just listen to these words. But thou, O man of God. Let me stop right there. Are you a man of God? Are you a woman of God? Are you a person of God? Have you placed faith in Jesus Christ? Has he called you unto himself? If so, you are a man of God, the general word man. You are called unto himself, O man of God. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And he goes on, verse 12, listen here. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He says, fight. Grab on to what you were called. Don't be a pansy for Jesus. Fight for righteousness' sake. Fight for what you're supposed to do. Fight for your purpose. He tells you, follow after. Live a life reflective of Jesus Christ. He goes on with what those characters look like. Righteousness. Live with what's right according to the Word of God. Godliness. Live in a character of God. God-like. Faith. Obedience and trusting Him. Love. Oh, reflective of Him, isn't it? Patience. Uh-oh, now we're pushing it. Meekness. He says, fight. This is a serious pursuit. And we don't understand what he's saying until temptation comes. How hard will I fight temptation? How hard will I fight things that do not draw me closer to Christ, that do not fulfill His purpose? Paul's saying, that's when you got to fight. When you get a chance to lie, that's when you have the chance to fight and want to do what's right. When lust starts attacking your heart, that's when we get to fight. Say, no, I'm living for Christ. I'm going to live for righteousness. I get a chance to steal and I say, no, I'm going to live for Christ. He's a giver who gave His life for me. You see, Paul's call here was to fight for what is right. Anybody out there? It's quiet. Paul's call is to fight for what is right. We'll fight when we get mad, won't we? We'll fight when someone calls me a name. Hurts my feel bads because I'm sensitive, right? We'll fight when someone tries to steal something from me. But will I fight because Satan is trying to bring to me what my flesh wants? Will I have that same determination to say, get lost? Get behind me, Satan. Will I fight the desires of my flesh because I want to pursue God? Will I fight sin because I want to pursue the reason Christ pursued me? There's no amens today, is there? Paul says, fight. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 4. See, in 1 Timothy, he told this young pastor to fight. And then in 2 Timothy, at the end of Paul's life, believed to be the last letter Paul wrote. In 2 Timothy 4, go down to verse 7. We're familiar with this passage. Verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, because of everything I just mentioned, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love His appearing. Paul, at the end of his life, after he had been beaten and stoned and threatened and imprisoned, he'd been kicked out of cities and rejected and hated. After he had given up his riches, he had given up his power, he had given up everything he had. He says, at the end of his life, just before he dies, I fought, and I finished. I gave my all, but I did not give up. When you say, I'm going to fight for it, you know what you're saying? I know it's not going to be easy, but I know it's worth it. Let me ask you this. Do you really believe that living a life of righteousness is worth it? That will be determined by the fight you have to live out righteousness. Paul says, listen, I fought. I have finished. He didn't sit around hoping something good would happen. He wasn't just sitting there hoping his neighbors would get saved. He wasn't hoping the kids would grow up to be godly kids. He wasn't hoping somebody would tell Aunt Mildred about Jesus. You remember? Paul wasn't playing the let go and let God game. Paul's life was set aside to make Jesus known in his words and in his life. He was working to let God receive glory in his life. He wanted to be the man God wanted him to be, the man that Jesus saved him to be. And once he awaits the reward. Now, the reward he speaks of here is not salvation. Salvation was birthed at faith. He's speaking of the reward for the work God called him to, the crown of righteousness, the actual crown and gift that would be given to him from Jesus Christ himself because of his faithfulness, because of his obedience. Man, you imagine Jesus Christ, God himself, the one who gave up his life, who suffered to offer you salvation, is going to say, well done. Here's your crown of righteousness. Wow, that's pretty cool to be Paul, isn't it? Pretty cool that he's looking forward to a prize like that. Here's the neat thing. It's not just for Paul. It's not just for the apostles. It's not just for prophets. It's not just for pastors. We see right there in the end of verse 8. But unto all them also that love his appearing. Are you excited about the return of Jesus Christ? Are you excited about seeing him face to face? Are you excited that you're going to fall on your knees before him? Are you even excited that you're going to answer to him for your life? Your excitement for that day will reflect on how your life is conformed to him now. Because my external excitement, I can just talk about it all day long. But if I'm really passionate about that day, it's going to transform my life to where I'm preparing for that day. And often I relate it to a wedding, right? And all the girls said, yeah, they're married now, and that's not that sweet of a thing. Right? From a young age, the girl's planning her marriage. She knows what she wants. She's got this, like, box. Okay, I'm sorry, it's a hope chest. And she's putting these little things in. They're so cute and precious. Us guys call it junk, but it's stuff in there because she's planning for that day. Why? Because that's an important day. She's looking forward to. Guess what? Let me ask you, how are you preparing for the day that you're going to see Jesus face to face? Let me tell you, this Sunday morning meeting is very important for our walk with Christ. It's obedience to him. It's to be challenged from God's word together with his body. But guess what? This is not all it is to walk with Christ. He wants your life, your time at work, your time at home. And Paul knows, listen, I haven't attained yet. But I fought the fight, and I'm about to finish. I've ran my course. I fulfilled my purpose. And there's a reward for me, and not just for me, but for anybody that loves the appearing because they will fulfill their calling. And for now, Paul states there, back to Philippians 3, if you will. Drop back to Philippians 3. For now, Paul restates there in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, listen, I've not arrived yet. I'm still fighting. I'm still pursuing. I still have breath to give God. If you can fog up some glass with your breath, God can still use you. One question I've been asking care centers more than any is, why isn't he taking me yet? He's still using you somehow, some way. And sometimes I could say he's using you to encourage me. Because if he's allowing you to have breath and you are his child, he's still got a purpose for you. He's still calling you to himself. He's still using you to fulfill his purpose. But look at Paul's focus here, because he's going to tell us his focus. See, the complete effort is useless without the correct focus. Right? Complete effort is useless without the correct focus. Our car has a rearview mirror. Is it a good thing? A lot of people don't know how to use it anymore because now your car has a stupid television that you put it in and you hope you don't swing into the other car now. But that rearview mirror is very important. Okay, it has a purpose. That rearview mirror helps us learn what is around us. It helps us avoid danger. But if we stay focused in that mirror, we're going to miss where we want to go. We're going to go the wrong direction. And we thank God for his comforting for the things in 2024, don't we? There's times that we just needed the comfort of God. We also praise God for the good things he did in 2024 that we can get excited about. But look at Paul's focus in verse 13. About halfway through, he says this, "But this one thing I do," whoo, that next word, "forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before." Paul can't remain focused on the past, or it's going to keep him from moving forward. The past will become a distraction if you're not careful. We allow the past to be a part of our life because we learn from it. You ever done something that you've done in the past? You might look back and say, yeah, last time didn't work out too good. I'm going to change my ways. We can look back to appreciate. Man, we lost loved ones. And I still see smiles that are now before the throne of God. Those encouraging ones. And I thank God for them. We look back to praise God for salvations and baptisms. But we cannot look back to live there. When we stop to talk about the praise of God, never should have been 20 years ago God did this for me. No. No. I mean, yes, thank God for it. Well, God is active right now. God is at work right now. If all that your blessings are from God and all that God has challenged you and convicted you is 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or even a year ago, you're not being intimate with God right now because he wants to grow you right now. He wants to take the next step with you. So we look back to praise God, to thank God. But we must look forward and reach forward. Paul had to clear his past from his sight. Some of the things we need to get out of our focus. Now check this out. Just a couple things we've got to get out of our focus. First off, if you read the rest of the chapter, or even before this, Paul had to get his good stuff out of his focus. He had to get his goodness out of his focus. We can easily be hindered by our religious achievements. Well, I teach Sunday school. I go to church every time that door is open. I've memorized all the Bible, right? And we can easily get puffed up, satisfied with things that we have accomplished. I've led this many to Christ. And those things start causing complacency because we become satisfied. We stop moving forward. We stop working. We stop running and growing and pursuing holiness. We become very proud, satisfied, and content. So we need to stop looking at those things and being satisfied, you with me, of what I am. Well, I've been a member here for 25 years. That's great. Thank you. But let's look forward to what God has for us. What does God want me to do this coming year? What's the next step God wants in my growth in faith? But also, something else we need to get out of our focus is our sinfulness. We can be crippled even by our past sins. Things in our past. If you haven't repented and sought forgiveness, do. God is good. He wants to forgive. He's already paid for it. And if you've already repented, remember God said he forgets your sins, places them far from him. God does not want to cripple you with your past. Can I get an amen on that one? God doesn't want to cripple you with your past. See, you know who the great accuser is according to Scripture? Satan. It's not God. When some kid keeps getting thrown in your face that you have brought to the throne of grace, and you have sought forgiveness, and you've repented and turned from it, and that keeps getting thrown in your face, it's not God thrown in your face, it's Satan thrown in your face, because he wants to knock you off a track. We need to put behind us those things that are behind us. Those things that Christ has already washed from me. Those things the Father has already forgotten. He says he's put it so far from him that he can't reach it. He doesn't want nothing to do with it. We got to too. Another thing we need to get past and out of our focus is our hurt. Irony is I had this message prepared, and as you know, I'd listen to sermons. And this morning I turned on one of my favorite, just a little clip of Vody Bachum. He makes a quote, "We cannot define ourselves by our difficulties in our lives." We cannot define ourselves by the difficulties in our lives. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God. People have violated us. They will violate us. They will hurt us. They will attack us. They will slander us. They will steal from us. They will take advantage of us. But they cannot take away from me that I'm a child of God through Jesus Christ, his Son. We got to remember Joseph in the Old Testament, whose brothers hated him. They were jealous of him. They sold him into slavery, lied that he was dead, and for many, many years he was gone and forgotten about. But then one time, other brothers came around. His brothers and his whole family needed help. They were about to die from starvation. And you know why he wasn't defined by? He was not defined by his hurt. He was defined by his Father. He reached out and he saved the lives of his family. He saved the lives of the very ones that hurt him. You and I cannot be defined by our hurt. We're defined by who our Father is. Our focus needs to be his calling, his sending. See, Jesus said, "No man having his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." A man that is concerned with the past, comforted, satisfied with what has already happened, will not be used by God for his kingdom. The man of God must be pursuing God's calling. Catch that? This is why Paul adds right there in verse 13. In Philippians 3:13. Second half, it says, "Reaching forth unto those things which are where?" Things that are before, in front. Things that are still ahead of me. I reach forward those things God still has for me. I reach forward for the plan God has for me. "Well, you don't understand, Pastor. Last year, you know what I accomplished?" No, that don't matter no more. Praise God for that. Thank you for doing that. But you know what? God has something greater this year. God has another way for you to minister. God has someone else that you get to serve. "I'm reaching forth to those things that are before." He was stretching forward, doing all he can to reach what God has called him to do. How much do we reach? Nothing behind you is as important as what is ahead of you. Nothing behind you is important as what's ahead of you. Catch that. Because ahead of me is the next step God has for me. It's that next step of obedience. So God's best for FBC is still ahead of us. God's best for our church still ahead of us. Paul has a motivation that we see here too. I think we all need a motivation, don't we? Tomorrow morning, many of y'all are going to get up and go to work. Why do you get up and go to work? Because you love work? Yeah. Amen, brother. I look forward to it. Get there an hour early just for fun. I can say I do. I better say I do, right? But why do you get up and go to work tomorrow? You got to feed your family. You got bills. That motivates you. If you're not motivated to go to work tomorrow, go look at your checking account. You'll go to work tomorrow. Why do you work out? I still don't understand that. That's a real question. Why do you work out? No, I'll take that as an amen. But see, Paul's motivation here, look at verse 14. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. His motive that he considered a prize was to reach the high calling of God. You know what my prize will be? Is that God would say, you're a holy man, Ron. That God would say, Ron, you're fulfilling my purpose for you. That Christ would say, that's why I called you to myself. That's what Paul says my prize is that I reach the high calling of God. Paul's desire was to be the man God wanted him to be. That he would be called holy and righteous. This requires intimacy with God. This is what Paul gave up everything else for. This is why Paul gave up his power. This is why Paul gave up his riches. He gave up his comforts. That's why he'd get beat in one place and he'd go back in and preach at him again. This is why he'd get stoned and left for dead and he'd go back and preach again, because that's what his life is for. If God has called me to it, he's going to take me through it. Says why? Because my prize is to attain what God has called me to do. Paul had to stop looking at who he was. Paul had a very religious lineage. It's impressive when you hear, oh, Paul. Ooh. His religious family would impress anybody. He had a life of good works. But Paul could not remain focused on what had already accomplished. He had to move forward to reach one more. Didn't think I was going to let this year go by without mentioning that again, did you? We have a job to reach one more, don't we, church? That does not end when this year ends. That sticks with us until we take our last breath. But our goal is to reach one more for Christ. And that was Paul's entire life, is to reach one more. Paul had new places God was going to lead him to. There were more people needing the gospel. Paul said, I'm still growing. Still trying to become the righteous, holy man God wants me to be. Because I know I haven't attained yet. I'm not perfect yet. I still have breath. And God's still using me. Church, no matter what we have done, God has bigger things in 2025. The hard thing is it requires us to submit and take steps of faith. No matter how much we have grown in our walk with Christ, God is still working in us. Because we're not yet attained. But he has promised one day I'm going to see Jesus face to face. And I'll be complete. I'll be complete. I'll be complete. You? You ready for that day? In 2025, we may look back. We might cry a little. We might laugh a little. But praise God. But we've got to look forward to what God has for us this year. We've got to continue to grow in him. Grow in his word. We've got to continue to conform to his image. We've got to continue to proclaim Jesus. We've got to continue to love one another. And we must more than ever let God receive glory from our lives. That's our goal. It's our desire. This year is about over. And God has great things for 2025. Would you stand with me? I'm going to close in a song that you're familiar with that hopefully is what we say to the Lord when He calls us, directs us, guides us, is yes, Lord, yes. And that as He guides us in 2025, that we'd be intimate enough with Him, that we hear what He says, that we're very clear in His direction, and we will submit by saying, yes, Lord, yes. Meeting tonight. We're not going to meet tonight. Next Sunday, remember, come back ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, communion, remembering what His body and His blood means to us, the promises He made, the sacrifice He made. And so I'm going to ask Brother Gene, would you close in a word of prayer?